people who are believers in Jesus Christ. You hear that statement, you think, that's not talking about that. We are indeed that. What I mean by believer is someone who believes that Jesus is the Redeemer of the world. Savior. Also, not very profound. We knew that coming in. The other thing is that there's a requirement in Christianity. In Christianity, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the image of the living God. There is no other version of Jesus. He is the only one. But what did Jesus say? Whatever comes out of Jesus' mouth, his word is what God says. Jesus is God's word made flesh. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's John 14:9. Right? Did I get them all from the passage? This morning, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to his words. Christianity is a faith such that all of its goals are accomplished through Jesus Christ. He is the focal point of the faith. There are a variety of Christian expressions, Christian denominations. You know, Christianity has a bunch of different groups that have, they emphasize different points of doctrine and they define themselves by it. Every Christian group has, you know, their own flavor, their own style, their own characteristics. One would say, we are the one Christian church. Let's see if you can guess that one. We have the only credible clergy. We are all under one pastor. Right? Roman Catholic, of course. Right? They emphasize the hierarchy and kind of clergy credentials. That's a big part of their tradition because they want to see one church. Another group would say we form our Christian identity with our declaration. What we say about God, it's what we say about God that matters. Our public profession of faith, our statement of faith. I would guess this was the Baptists, right? They want to pray the sinner's prayer, and that sort of initiates their relationship with God. That is kind of a big deal in that group, right? Then you've got like Pentecostals. You know, there's spiritual warfare, and they talk about being anointed and spiritually awakened in the supernatural. And that's kind of their thing. And it would be pretty exciting. Faith. A lot of things go on in there that's kind of, you know, it's unusual to some of us in the Christian world, but it's exciting to them. That's great. Then you kind of have a different group that's almost the opposite end of that, and that would be like our Calvinist friends. And they say that we are all chosen from the foundation of the world, saved and reprobate, and they kind of go through a whole idea of predestination. That's kind of like their main focus in the way they ensure their unity with God. And so you kind of have all of these different flavors of Christianity. And they all kind of connect to some aspect of Scripture. Right? There's some passage or some verse or some tradition in the past, a movement in Christianity in the past, that they latch on to. Alright, took me a long time. Sorry. Where do we Lutherans stand? What's our thing? What's the banner that we hang up in the narthex and say that's definitely Lutheran? Do we know? We always say, if confirmation class, if you ever get asked a tough theological question as a Lutheran, what's your like go-to response? The cross of Christ! Right? We would say that. That would be the one thing that Lutherans always go to. The cross of Christ. Sola Christus. Christ alone. Faith alone. Grace alone. But all of it has to do with Christ. So why are we so Christocentric in the Lutheran tradition? Why do we have such a high Christology? Why is Christ the focal point of our faith? So that's a dumb question. It's all over the scriptures. It's all over the gospels. We just read one of the verses, right? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Another passage, no one hates the Father except through me, right? So we would say it's scriptural. But what's another way of looking at it? Well, we Lutherans like a grounded faith. We like our faith to be concrete. Right? We want it to be tangible and real. Something that could be shared with a common experience among people in the room. Any of us Lutherans shy away from, you know, strange spiritual activity, those, you know, Shroud of Turin moments, or the, you know, the Jesus is face in the toast kind of thing, is not really our thing. We don't want to have spooky spiritual moments, unusual, or that sort of is only the experience of a select few. We really gravitate toward common experience. Something that everyone can share. For us Lutherans, God revealed himself in plain language. The language of the people. The common language. That's kind of where we got our start. Translating the Bible into the native tongue. The means of grace is tangible through Christ's real presence in the suffering. It's not hidden. And this symbol of another thing that's somewhere else. No, our relationship with God is through the real Christ of Jesus. Not the idea of Jesus, not the concept of Jesus that we're trying to replicate. It's Jesus himself. That's the way we would say. Do we take this for granted in 2026? The church at one time had a long history of praying through saints, praying through other people, even praying through the means of prominent people in the church. You know, I know in my career, people have like asked me to pray for things, not that they want more people to pray, but they would ask me to pray for things, thinking somehow I have this special mind to God as the pastor, which is definitely not true. If that is something that's in my church, then I'm a bad teacher. Because I have no inside, you know, connection to God more than you do. We all are connected in the same way to the same Jesus Christ. Nobody is special. I think that's what the passage this morning is communicating. That's what the transfiguration is kind of saying. Jesus goes to the place with Peter, James, and John. And the disciples, they see Moses, the lawgiver. That's a big part of the scriptures at that point. And Elijah is like the prototype prophet. So the law and the prophets basically symbolize all of the scriptures up until that point. There isn't a New Testament. Peter says, Lord, we can make three tents, right, for each one of you, each one of the categories, and you're all equally important. The voice comes from heaven. and gives them Jesus' credentials and says, listen to him. And Christ then stands alone. What does that mean? What is that about? Every religion and most faiths seem to have like a set of rules. Some do's and don'ts. If you obey them, you're in. And if you make errors or too many errors, well, then you're out. But this passage speaks to something entirely different. It says that Christianity is not made up by a set of rules. It says that your relationship with God is not through a list of do's and don'ts. It's not about being Bible smart. Christianity is not a religion of fortune telling or future apocalyptic warnings either. So many people think that. No, our faith is about our relationship with God through our personal relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. God is not an abstraction we guess at. We know God's character and God's relationship with us because we witness it in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. This seems like an obvious point to make in a room full of Christians. I'm like, yeah, we gotta do this going in. After you make such a point, you might think, there's not much to this sermon. And Gary thinks, there's not much to many of the sermons. But you would be surprised how many people miss this part of Christianity. They get distracted and connected to things that aren't really the main point. They get caught up in the spooky spiritual. Or they worry about what God might do next, or who God might accept, or who God might not accept. Instead of seeing clearly what God has already done in the person of Jesus Christ. I want to close with a passage that I have recently rediscovered. It was my epiphany during the season of Epiphany. And I don't know if you have ever had this experience, but when you read your Bible and you read a passage, you know you've read it, but for some reason it feels like you're reading it for the first time, you know, and you read it, you're like, wow, I didn't even know that was in the Bible. But this is one of those passages for me, and I want to close by sharing it with you. It comes from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It's the very beginning of the epistle to the Hebrews. All right, here it is. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in his various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom all things were made. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by the power of his word.